Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
The hardest decision was to decide to live together here. We start a new life together here.
Welcome to the Iditapod, a podcast about what else the Iditarod and the lives that it touches. I'm your host, Casey Grove. Before we get on with our lives, how about a word from our sponsor?
Support for Iditapod 2020 comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, taking pride in its strong ties to Alaska's communities.
That was Matthias Farraga, I believe he pronounces it, who, with his partner, are the new owners of the McGrath Roadhouse. We'll be hearing more from them coming up, and about some early adjustments in the Iditarod, how the mushers were doing in Rainy Pass, a listener question, a twofer really, and two answers, of course, and another dog profile. Looking forward to that. First, a quick race update. It's Tuesday morning as we're recording this, and front of the pack Iditarod teams are approaching the village checkpoint of Nikolai at about mile 260, so a little over a quarter of the way through the 1,000-mile race, if I'm doing my math correctly there. At last check, Antioch's Richie Deal was leading the Iditarod heading toward Nikolai, followed by a small chase pack a few miles behind, comprised of Jesse Royer, Travis Beals, and Wade Mars, among others. A total of 30 teams had made it into and out of the remote Roan checkpoint, and with those folks I just mentioned, they're all on their way to Nikolai. Before Roan and Nikolai, heading into and out of the Rainy Pass checkpoint on Puntilla Lake, are some of the trail's more technical sections. And here to explain why we call them technical is Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon. Hi, Tegan.
Hey, Casey. How's it going?
Pretty good. We're cruising along here, just good. Like those mushers out there. Why are those two sections of trail, the ones before and after the Rainy Pass checkpoint, so difficult or technical, as we call them?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll start with the one before. It's called the Happy River Steps, and you'll probably often hear some sort of adjective before Happy River, like notorious, difficult, and it's a really challenging piece of trail. It's short, it's not long, but it's kind of, as you would imagine, steps, except you're going over it with 14 dogs in a lot of cases and a big sled. So the teams are going down these hills, and then they flatten out, and then there's a hill again, and then it flattens out.
Yeah, and it's like these switchbacks where they're going downhill, trying to ride the brake to keep their sled from kind of going too fast and keep the dogs from going too fast. And then they're taking these turns, these like 90-degree turns pretty hard, and sleds have spilled over there. People have lost, you know, pieces of gear. They've lost their dog trays. I remember one time Mitch Seavey lost a bunch of his dog trays, and he had to buy some kind of like metal pans up in Rainy Pass. And it's funny that it's called the Happy River Steps because it's near this river called the Happy River, but usually they're not that happy about it when they go over that. We haven't heard any like really bad stories about it this year though, right?
No, I haven't really seen or heard anything. It sounds like the deep snow might have helped mushers out, that it kind of leveled the steps, making it more of like a continuous hill as opposed to that more jarring down flat, down flat, down flat.
Yeah. The snow smoothing some things out there. So maybe when they take a spill, it's not going to be as hard because there's snow on the side of the trail. And maybe it's just not as like steep of a switchback when they go around it. We heard about this from Jessica Klaka. We've heard about it from different mushers over the years. But in our live event the other day, Jessica Klaka was talking about her rookie run down the Happy River steps and how four-time champion Lance Mackey was at the bottom of the steps, gave her a high five. And that was a real highlight for her. Along with all the other Iditapod episodes, I definitely encourage people to go back and listen to those. There's a lot of content there that we are content with. So that's the Happy River Steps. Like you said, it's not this super long section of trail, but a lot of Iditarod mushers have had trouble with that over the years. So they head up into the Alaska Range and get to Rainy Pass on Puntilla Lake. And a lot of mushers will take a break there and stop and snack their dogs and maybe, you know, rest for a while. But then they head into another pretty technical section of trail. What is that?
That's the Dalzell Gorge. And you're right. There is this like very beautiful scenic break in the middle of these two gnarly, hard sections of trail. And the Dalzell Gorge is windy and it's steep and it's hard. And it's really, I don't want to say unpredictable, but it changes year to year. And you can, you know, probably tell by snow conditions how it will be before you start the race. But, you know, we've seen years that are really icy and low snow. And, you know, mushers are riding the brakes and navigating between trees. And they're moving at a pretty fast clip because they've still got all their dogs because it's still so early in the race.
That's a good point, because a big part of this, and I think maybe people don't realize, is how much the mushers have to work to keep the teams from running too fast. Whether it's the dogs running fast and kind of burning up more energy than they would like, or in a real low snow year, just the wildness of that ride when the musher's trying to hang on, and when there's less snow, it's a lot bumpier. The dogs get a pretty good grip on whatever that is, whether it's snow or just like frozen dirt. And so they've got good traction and they're just really hauling. But the musher on the back is like bumping along, hitting tussocks, hitting stumps in some cases. If you really want to see what this looks like, I would encourage people to go Google Jeff King Dalzell Gorge or Jeff King 2014 Iditarod. He has this GoPro video of some of these sections of trail where, again, it's in a low snow year, but you can really see this drop off in the Dalzell Gorge where he's just kind of on the edge of this cliff. He's riding the sled. And later in the lower snow sections of the trail, what it's like to try to control the dog team going over that like frozen dirt. And it's wild. I don't know how else to explain it.
It is. It is really wild. And I imagine, you know, a lot harder to break when there is no snow. So maybe that'll help out teams this year, or did help out teams that there was some snow to at least push the break into.
Yeah, that's a good point, because when it's just like ice or frozen mud or whatever, there's nothing to stick that break into. And so you're just kind of hanging on, trying to balance. And, you know, people think maybe the musher's just kind of standing there on the back of the sled on the runners and just letting the dogs pull them. But there's a lot more work that goes into it, like balancing. And just in that video, Jeff is sort of riding one side of the sled, like riding one ski, almost like a downhill, you know, Olympic quality skier. We're still just kind of following these folks as they're heading into and through the Alaska Range. If you look at the map, it's kind of cool. It's like they're going through a pass, a mountainous pass, and it kind of reminds me of like Star Wars when Luke has to like fly through the channel and, you know, take out the Death Star, you know, flying through there.
Yeah, I feel like we're still early on in the race. Mushers are settling into their schedules. We're settling into our schedules. Yep. I see a lot of race fans talking on the website that they've been up all night checking the tracker. So I imagine fans are also settling into their new run rest rhythms. And with that, I'm going to go get to the internet to post some more stories.
That sounds good. Yes, of course, Tegan is managing our web presence here during the Iditarod. You can find all of our race coverage photos, the Iditapod, of course, other stories at alaskapublic.org. I'll let you go, Tegan. Thanks for being here. Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon.
Thanks, Casey.
So as we do, we're picking up stories from earlier in the race. And our guys out on the trail spent some time in Rainy Pass earlier. That's where the teams arrived, some of them staying for a break yesterday and last night. Along the way to Rainy Pass, some mushers made adjustments to maintain their dog's health and speed.
You know, I've never been here before, so I don't anticipate too much. I'm just enjoying the trail. And I really am. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. I think I'm here in a lucky year.
Mille Porsild of Denmark said in Rainy Pass she planned on dropping a dog before leaving the checkpoint. That's an adjustment for the upcoming trail through the Dalzell Gorge into Rhone we just talked about. Aaron Peck, racing his seventh Iditarod, reached Rainy Pass slightly before 4 p.m. yesterday and immediately set up straw for his dogs, drew a bucket of Puntilla Lake water from the nearby watering hole, and fed his team. Besides the usual chores, Peck also wrapped the legs of two of his dogs with plastic wrap.
It's more of a preventative thing. I have two dogs. They have wrists that have been swollen in the past just due to overuse, I would say, but it's really minor. And I'm just wrapping them to prevent it from coming back. So, in fact, they've been looking great, actually. I don't even think I need to put them on.
In addition to tweaking strategy or dog care, some mushers have also adjusted their sleds. Travis Beals of Seward took off his floaters, as they call them, by the time he arrived at the Rainy Pass checkpoint. Beals explains what these plastic add-ons do for a musher's sled.
We took our floaters off. Those kind of send us all over the place. It's a wider set of plastic that goes on the fronts for deep snow, but when we're not in the deep stuff, we try not to use it. Make things a little bit hairy.
Even if riding on that wider runner plastic made things a little hairy, as Travis Beals put it just now, many mushers describe the trail into the Rainy Pass checkpoint there at Puntilla Lake as largely uneventful. And although they contended with a bit of a storm during the first few dozen miles, as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, many said the trail ascending up into the Alaska Range was as good as they ever remember it.
The Rainy Pass Lodge sits above the frozen over Puntilla Lake, high up in the mountains. It's extremely scenic and close enough to the road system that planes full of race fans, reporters, and tourists arrive in droves, making it a kind of alpine spectacle with dozens of people milling around to snap photos of mushers. Pete Kaiser was the first to arrive and hoping to bank as much rest for his team and himself before the circus arrived.
Looks like it started, so I don't know. I gotta do my rest.
But if this was the most excitement mushers had seen so far, they sounded fine with it. Snow and wind hampered the first leg of the race, but after Squintna, Kaiser says things were great.
The first 4 hours of the race was going to end, and it was real slow, just like everyone thought it would be. And deep, and then it kind of slowly improved mile by mile after that, and this Finger Lake to here was a great trail.
Nobody seemed fazed by the squall early on. In the sunshine on Puntilla Lake, with mild temperatures and some manageable wind, Richie Deal seemed pleased with the most recent run.
I mean, you're just climbing in and out of the hills, you know, and so it's kind of slow in that way, but I thought it was a pretty good run over.
Most of the first mushers who made it to Puntilla opted to rest before heading further up through Rainy Pass itself. Wade Mars was using a Bowie knife to split up frozen hunks of beef, salmon, and tripe to feed his team. He says so far the trail has been the best and worst of both worlds.
Early on was a horrible trail, worst I've ever seen, but it's getting pretty good. Probably the best trail I've ever seen going into Finger Lake, and really nice trail coming into here. So, but the Yatna Squintna stretch was pretty bad.
One musher having a particularly good day was Paige Drobny. She drew the last starting place, leaving Willow in 57th position, but she pulled into Puntilla Lake in the 10th spot. Fetching water from a hole in the ice, she thinks she was able to leapfrog so much because she had a different run-rest schedule.
I did 3 runs a year, and I think a lot of people are doing 4. I ran for 6.5, rested for 3, ran for 6.5, rested for 4, ran for 5 to get here.
After crossing Rainy Pass, mushers hit Roan before descending the Alaska Range. On Puntilla Lake, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
As I'm recording this again here Tuesday morning, all 57 teams continue to move down the trail. That is, there have been no scratches so far. And their thoughts are likely turning towards that 24-hour layover and the decision on where to take it. The 24, as they call it simply, is the longest of 3 mandatory rest periods the sled dog teams must take during the race. The mushers will have planned out where to do their 24 by sending drop bags with whatever supplies they think they'll need, whether that's to Nikolai, McGrath, or Takotna. It's even happened as early as Roan in the past. And while Takotna is known for its hospitality and definitely known for its pies, the McGrath checkpoint is a bit more hospitable this year. That's because a young couple of Europeans, one from France, one from Germany, they reopened the Roadhouse in McGrath. It's the only restaurant there and has served as a checkpoint for the Iron Dog Snow Machine race and now, of course, the Iditarod, where it's being used as an Iditarod logistics hub and an ever-important burger stop. KNOM's Ben Matheson sends along this interview with the McGrath Roadhouse's new owners.
I'm Matthias Ferraga. I'm a French citizen. I relocated from France to Alaska, and I'm now owner of Iditarod Trail Roadhouse in McGrath.
And my name is Jenny Vogt. I'm a German citizen, and I'm part of the ownership of the Roadhouse now.
Two winters ago, it was in 2018, I first traveled on the Iditarod because I heard it was a wonderful trail for winter activities. So I made it with my backcountry skis from Anchorage to McGrath, and I met a lot of people and had a lot of fun along the trail.
I also came 2 years ago for the first time to Alaska just for visiting. And after I met Matthias on this first visit in Fairbanks, 1 year after, we traveled together, and he showed me the place because he really liked it, and he wanted me to like it as well. And we traveled around here a little bit, and that was the first time I saw it.
And there was a little stickers on the front door, and the previous owner wanted to sell and not to sell at the same time. I think he was waiting for people really interested and exciting by the Iditarod Road adventure, and especially hosting the Iron Dog and Iditarod Road races. What is the roadhouse in McGrath? It's McGrath is quite little, 300 inhabitants, and the roadhouse is the only restaurant in town. It's not the only accommodation, but it's the only cafe and restaurant. So it's definitely part of the social landscape, and people, residents tell it like that to us also. You're part of the social landscape now, so don't make big mistakes. In September, we first moved here, and we reopened the Roadhouse kitchen in November 2019. So it's our first Iditarod season now.
There have been a lot of surprises, actually. We did so many different things, like building maintenance, and once we fixed one problem, then another problem appeared. But that's how it is in an old building, a very old building here. And we knew that it will be a lot of work, and we both like that.
The main activities are, of course, running a kitchen, so taking care of the food and cooking and welcoming guests and all the housekeeping activities. As I told before, we were both office workers, so in a hierarchy in corporation or public organizations, and it's definitely different to manage all aspects of a small business. So
I was working at the university in purchase department, so complete administration in public service.
And I step out of the computer to I think in some point of our life we want to step out of the screens a little bit and vary our daily activities. And I think Jenny agreed to say that it was exciting, but also moments of tension to work on this and be ready for this. It was really challenging.
Yes, we had a lot of things to do. We had a lot of work here, but we met so many nice people here, and every day we come in, and that gives us also a nice feeling, and we get some nice feedback.
The hardest decision was to decide to live together here. I would say it's a project. We start a new life together here. And we didn't live together in Europe, and that's the big decision.
And how is that going?
So far, so good.
Yes, so far, so good.
That is just beautiful, lovely, romantic. I feel like I can really hear something special in their voices there, and it's so nice to have different voices on the podcast. Speaking of different voices, it's time for today's listener question.
Hey there, my name is Isabella, and I'm out here in Boise, Idaho. I had two questions for you guys concerning the Iditarod. The first being that I saw some dogs in the ceremonial start with either like sleeves or socks on their front legs going all the way up to their shoulders. And I'm wondering what those are for. I would assume either protection from the snow or maybe from chafing. But I was really interested in learning what those are for and why they are used on some dogs but not others. I've also noticed that in the ceremonial start and also at checkpoints, you can hear a lot of dogs barking and carrying on, but I was wondering if they settle down once they start running and get out on the trail, or do they like to keep talking out along the trail? Or is this dependent on different dog teams? I really appreciate all the work you guys are doing with the Iditapod. I look forward to following along all year. Cheers.
Great questions, Isabella. To answer your second question first, yes, those dogs definitely quiet down when they start running. It reminds me of other athletes. They get loud before the event, they're getting pumped up, and then they're just focused in the zone when things get going. They're not all the same. Former Iditarod champion John Baker's dogs are known for being very quiet. But a lot of the dogs are very vocal about wanting to run, so they'll bark. Some of them jump into the air, tugging at their harnesses. And almost without exception, they go totally quiet when you pull the snow hook or let off the brake and tell them, "All right," as Hugh Neff says, or whatever command the musher uses to signal that it's time to go. At the ceremonial start, the excitement picks up when the dogs, they're tied to the dog trucks with drop chains. When they start to see the sled getting set up, the lines, the harnesses being laid out, it's just like that in a dog yard when they're tied to their houses and a musher starts to get ready for a training run. They go from hanging out, maybe keeping an eye on a raven or whatever is nearby, just quiet, to barking and pacing around excitedly because they know that they're about to go for a run. It's a lot like when you say the W word, as in that you're going for a walk around your pet dog at home. But this is more intense, multiplied by a million and however many dogs are in the team, because these dogs are athletes and they're ready to rock. If you want to see this in action, there's a video by Anchorage TV station KTVA of Iditarod rookie and friend of the podcast Quince Mountain's team. I was lucky enough to ride along at the ceremonial start. It's on KTVA's Facebook page. I also tweeted it out from my Twitter account. That's at KC Grove. That's KCGROVE. And you can see how the dogs are barking. They want to go. And when you let off the brake, they're just all heads down, quiet, and pulling. Like I said, almost without exception. As for your first question, Isabella, here's our reporter on the trail again, Zachariah Hughes, talking with musher Wade Mars about those sleeves you saw on the dog's legs.
But what's with the armbands or the leg, I don't know what you call them. They look like, your dogs look like Allen Iverson.
Oh, the leggings?
Yeah.
Sometimes the deeper snow will stick to their fur. And so that's just to prevent that snow from sticking to the fur on their legs. That works pretty good.
And you just do it with some of your specific dogs with longer hair?
Yeah, longer hair, and it seems to stick to the white dogs more than anything, so those guys seem to get them more.
Thanks for the answer there, Wade Mars. Thanks for the question, Isabella, and thank you, Zachariah Hughes, out there asking the tough questions. The best way to get those questions to us is by recording yourself in a voice memo. Most smartphones have a voice memo app. Don't forget to tell us who you are and where you are, and then send that to iditarod@alaskapublic.org. Those questions and answers have been a regular feature here on the Iditapod. A new feature this year is our dog profiles, and we're ready for today's dog profile. It's Sarah Jane, a lead dog in Meredith Mape's team. I feel like I should call her Miss Sarah Jane, but maybe that's just me. Here's Meredith Mapes talking to Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon at the ceremonial start in Anchorage on Saturday.
So this is Sarah Jane. She is my main lead dog, so she's very special. She always gets to ride in the truck with me, and she actually expects to ride in the passenger seat. So this morning she was very angry when my handler got in the passenger seat and she had to get in the back seat. So she's kind of angry with me right now. But she's my main lead dog, has been from the time she was about a year old, right after I harness broke her. She's just been one of those dogs that's always wanted to run up front, always wanting to push the team to be better. And she's so tuned into me. I've had her, oh really? She's barking for us. I've had her since she was a day old, and I've just always had an amazing bond with her over all of her siblings and over all my other dogs. So she's just super, super special for me.
Did she run the last Iditarod?
She did, and she also ran in 2017 with Larry Doherty as well. So he was joking with me that he wanted to try to borrow her for this year's race. And I was like, no, she's not going to be leased out this year. I'm sorry.
Yeah. How would you, I'm just trying to think of some descriptors for her. Brown eye, blue eye. She looks, I don't know, average size, kind
of
small?
She's a little small. Yeah. Most of my dogs are fairly small. They average about 45 to 48 pounds. She's about 48 pounds. While average... Oh, really?
She wants to be on the mic.
She does. She's like, let's go, man. Average size sled dogs are about 55 pounds, but most of my team's a little bit smaller than that.
Okay. How would you describe her personality? It sounds like raring to run.
Oh, yeah, she's always ready to go. As soon as I let her out of the house in the morning, she spends most of her nights with me in my bed. She runs out to the dog yard and checks on all the dogs to make sure that they're all doing okay. And she's very commanding. She's a very commanding presence. In the dog yard, she knows that she's the queen of the dog yard. So if somebody's doing something that she doesn't like, she yells at them for stepping out of line and things like that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And how old is Sarah Jane?
She is 5 years old.
Okay, so maybe it's not Miss Sarah Jane, it's Queen Sarah Jane. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Iditapod. Things are heating up, folks. The race is really getting going. We're probably going to be talking to those mushers a lot more as they start to take their 24-hour rests. Our theme music is by the band Sassafras. I'm your host, Casey Grove, and until next time, happy trails. Adios.
Bye. Thanks. Fine.
Happy trails.
Good job.
Don't let the door hit you.